My guest today is Ken Niyankuru. He's from Burundi, and he came to the United States 2.5 years ago. While learning English incredibly quickly, Ken took rigorous course offerings at Deering High School and distinguished himself academically. In 4 more days, he will be graduated from high school and is heading to Connecticut College in the fall with his eye on statistics and medicine. Welcome to New Manners Speak, Ken.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Best thing happening in June so far. So let's go back to when you were a boy, say about the age of 12 or whatever age you choose, you know, before you imagined leaving Burundi. What did a normal day look like for you?
A normal day for me was I would wake up in the morning, 7:37, and I'd get ready to go to school. Pretty much the day would be over because I had school all day from 7:30 to 2:30. After that, I would go home and play with my siblings. We didn't have video games or anything. It was playing soccer or basketball. Pretty much that's that. And I'd say around 5 p.m., I'd get in front of the TV to watch some cartoons because I was still young. And I used to love to watch Tom and Jerry. That was my favorite.
And I love that. We can identify with that.
We'd do homework. We didn't really have so much homework, but yes, we did do homework from 7:30 to 8:30, and we'd eat and go to sleep and then get ready for the next day. That was pretty much it.
That's a really simple recapitulation, and not too crazily different from here. Though, have you noticed people are plugged in more here?
Yeah, here people are kind of like into their businesses, you know, you can't really get much time to talk or hang out. It's just whoever is on their phone or playing video games. So it's really different from what I was living in back there in Burundi. Yes,
we're pretty heavily scheduled. I think about how people run around taking their kids to soccer practice and things like that, and there you just like went ahead and played soccer.
Yeah, definitely, because there, your parents is at work, you know, all day long, from 7 to, I guess, 6 p.m. So you don't really get much time to talk or hang out. But here, it's like parents are always trying to get their kids to do soccer practices, doing extracurricular activities here and there. So it's kind of like really, really different from...
You kind of were leading your own life there more in a way.
Yeah, there as a kid you choose to do what you want. It's like your parents are there, but you have to take the wheel and they will just make sure you're doing everything all right. So they're there just to kind of control you and show you the way, but in a way you kind of like also doing it for yourself.
Yeah, I would say so. Have you observed parents to be different here?
They are really, really different. Because back in Burundi, there's no kid who would, let's say, do something stupid and get away with it, you know? If you do something bad or, like, contrary to what they told you to do, you'd expect a punishment, and that punishment would not be like, you're not going to get to play this week, you're not going to get to use your phone this week. It would be like heavy beating, you know, just to make sure you're not going to do it again. But here, a kid could do something disrespectful or like something insolent, and he'd get away with it, you know. The kid would be like, the parents would be like, don't do it again, you know. Make sure next time you don't do it.
And please.
And then... in a way, it feels like the kid is not even wrong, you know? Because, like, it doesn't really show him that what he did had consequences. Yeah, some people realize that it has consequences, but not everybody has that mindset that you have to, you know, get some consequences for what you do. Yeah, so...
the boundaries were a lot clearer.
Yeah.
With bigger, higher stakes if you messed up there.
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
How many kids are in your family?
I grew up with my cousin because I was adopted at the young age. So I was living with 12 kids.
Oh, yes. You were never lonely.
I was never. Because like most of the times I was with my cousin and would be playing or like talking, hanging around. So I would say I was never lonely, yes.
Hmm. Well, a sharp contrast to living here on your own. Who do you think in your childhood was the most influential person to you?
The most influential person would be my parents. Because they were always there to support me and to show me the way. Because they were giving me advices. And I still live by those advices till today.
Is there a good example of one of the pieces of advice?
Yeah, they told me that in life it's better to help not to be helped. And I feel like that was a good advice because, like, if you are helping other people and not expecting anything in return, it will be always right, and then it will always feel right to do something, not waiting for some compensation after that. And I think that's a good advice because, like, they really, really taught me how to live in this world. Because, like, in this world, you will live by well and in good terms with other people when you are helping and kind of being involved in kind of like changing the situation of people here. Yes.
Yeah, it really speaks to a curiosity where you care about other people and then also what is it they need, and then contributing to their well-being feels good.
Yeah, it does. It's a good feeling to be involved in someone's life and knowing that you did something to kind of help them get there where they are right now. Even if you're not really, you don't really have anything, or just say you're not really advanced as they are, but it feels good to know that you had something to do with their success. Put your imprints in everyone's life.
Yeah, and contributing to the well-being of the whole community so you can all rise together. Yeah. In Burundi, you attended a boarding school starting at the age of 15. I wonder, in what ways did that experience set you up for success on your journey here in Maine?
In a way, it was different, but also similar to what I'm living here. Because it was different, I knew I had my parents, and they would come to check up on me sometimes, you know, just to make sure I was doing well. But it was also similar to what I was what I'm living here. Because like here, I live by myself and I have to do everything pretty much on my own and make sure I don't do anything that will make me in trouble. And I had to also, make sure to do everything right, or like try to do everything right. I mean, you can't be perfect, but you also have to try and not mess up on purpose. So it kind of like set me up to be free and also make sure to be in control and make decisions for me in my life.
Yeah, and you seem to be making really good decisions for yourself. I'm impressed with your wisdom. You know, we were talking last week at a coffee shop, and you told me that healthy behaviors help you achieve more. And I thought, I don't know how many high school seniors are walking around recognizing that it's pretty important to make some healthy choices for yourself if you're in charge of yourself.
Yeah, it's really important to make healthy behaviors when you're still young, because like all those decisions you're making right now are going to have an impact in your future life. So it's not like you can do something bad or commit a crime and then expect that it's going to be all right in 10 years. Because like you have to also take in consideration the years you're going to lose serving the time for the crime you committed. So in a way also, it's kind of like you have to do everything, or like try to make healthy choices and good choices just to make sure that contributes to your future life. Because like everything you do right now, it is going to have an impact in your future life Some people choose to believe it or not, but I think it's pretty obvious when you do something right now, it will always have an impact to your future. Yes.
I think this is the benefit of having you take the reins of your life and at a young age. You start to take responsibility for your choices at a young age as well. You know, if your parents are telling you what to do all the time, you're pretty old by the time you, you know, give it a whirl, running the operation yourself. But you have experience already. And what's a kind of healthy choice you might make for yourself related to food, for example?
Food, you have to eat, let's say a balanced dinner, I guess. So like something, because like, most people right now want to eat just one kind of food, and there's like so many kinds of food, and that's why you find some people becoming overweighted, and that's not really healthy for you. I mean, we're still young, we could correct that, but then sometimes people realize that when it's too late and you can't really change nothing, and that's why you'd have to make sure right now to start living healthy and not to expect that you'll be healthy at 40 or like 50 when you're getting old. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You said something to me last week that I thought, hey, we have that in common. You said when you're out of sorts a little bit, you like to just go home and cook and just do something real. And I thought, oh, me too. That's sweet. What do you like to cook when you're in that situation?
Most of the times I do... let's see. I like to cook some chicken and rice and some beans. It's like some African food. I mean, it takes time to cook them, but I enjoy doing that because like, it helps me relax my mind and take away things that I don't want. And then in a way, it feels like if you're thinking about it, it's all right to do something positive and something where you have to work and put in the work. Because like, it takes away your mind to think about some depressing stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, you think about something else and make something useful.
Yeah.
Have those busy hands. I love that. You already know how to do that for yourself.
Definitely.
I'm imagining it had to be a pretty intense transition to Maine. You came right at the turn of the new year, 2.5 years ago, in the middle of the winter. I can't imagine how dark it seemed here. Living on your own, halfway through your sophomore year of high school. How did you keep yourself balanced through that tough time when you were still learning English and not to mention all the whole cultural experience of it all while you're coming of age? How did you do that?
It was not really something easy. I'd be lying if I said it was easy for me. When I arrived here, it was mid-winter. It was in December on Christmas. And it was difficult because like, it was cold, and I mean, they told us it was going to be cold, but then I didn't think it would be like any colder than I was in Burundi. Yes, it's cold there, but it's nothing that I had expected when I got here.
What's the best trick you've learned for staying warm?
In the first few days, I was putting on 3 or 4 coats and gloves and winter boots. So it was really intense for me because I, in a way, it would also make me sweat but also keep me warm. So yeah, and then also I was feeling like heavy because I was not used to do that, because like I remember when we got to the New Jersey airport, like Newark, all my pants and everything, I felt like I was wet, you know, because like the wind and everything. I was like, wow, this is nothing I have experienced. So,
yeah,
that's
amazing. I can't imagine having to make room in my brain for a whole weather system I didn't even experience before.
Definitely, it was very, very hard, and then also knowing that you have to get up in the morning, go to school, and the season, because like, the season is weird, you know. I went over there in Africa. The sunset is, 6:30, and when I arrived here, the sunset was 5:30. I was like, "What is this?" You know, and everything changed. and because like you have to also set your mind to new hours and everything. So I'd fall asleep by the time in Burundi was like time to go to sleep. That was also pretty hard to deal with in the first few weeks. Yes.
Yeah, get realigned. If you're just joining us, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Ken Niankuru. He's originally from Burundi, and he became a New Mainer 2.5 years ago. He's volunteered at the homeless shelter and as a mentor, and he also works at the local grocery store as a cashier. And now he has a bright future at Connecticut College this fall. So, Ken, getting into college is a kind of competitive and crazy game in this country. How were you able to navigate everything from testing and selecting which schools and writing essays, applying for scholarships? How did you do that so successfully?
I would say I had brilliant counselors, advisors, and advisors. Because like, I don't think I would have made it without my counselors and and all those people right there behind me, helping me choosing and making the right decisions. It was really, really hard for me at first because you have to do the SATs, do the testings and all the stuff. But also you have to know what colleges to apply to, where you'd have a chance to get into. But also colleges are about paying money. So you had to also know where you're going to afford, because like, it's not easy to find all that money. And for me, I mean, I live by myself, so it was also like extra hard for me, and then I'd had to put in extra work. That was also hard, but then the people who helped me were the school counselor and the Make It Happen program. It's in Portland schools. They are really, really great people, and I mean, if you have a chance, you could go to their offices. They will help you, and it's free, and it's they give their time. They're dedicated to the work, and it's a really, really great work they're doing and helping us.
Here's a shout-out to Make It Happen. What an amazing program. You can Google it, of course, and they're always looking for volunteers as well if they want to come in and partner with students and help them sift through essays and think about schools. And you know better than anybody what an asset that is to this community, because how on earth are immigrants supposed to figure out our crazy system without counselors? Do you want to give a shout out to your counselors?
My counselor, Libby Hazeton, was the best ever I've had, because like, at first I just didn't feel like any need of talking to her or like telling her what I was going to do. I felt like that was like my privacy, you know. I don't have any obligation to allow someone into my life. But then after I met her, I mean, she started explaining to me, and then it was like all sort of complicated stuff. I felt like I was gonna die, you know, because like, I was like, I have a dream of going to college and get into a medical field, but then I have no idea how to accomplish that. I felt like the world was coming against me. I was like, what am I supposed to do now, you know? I have a dream to do this, but then I don't know where to go, you know? That's why you have to have some people behind you, helping you making the right decision, advising you to what to do and not to do. That's why I went to her, and then she helped me accomplish that. But then I discovered the Make It Happen through a teacher. That teacher was like, your writing is good, but then you could improve. There's always room for improvement. So he sent me to the Make It Happen. I was there, you know. I mean, I was skeptical at first, because like, I was like, wait, what is this, you know? Because like, at the Make It Happen, you find all sorts of people, and I didn't know anybody up there. I was like, this is not my place. But then I felt welcome the year after when I started seeing people that I knew. And I mean, it takes some time to get used to it. But then if you get out of your comfort zone, you can do anything, pretty much like everything.
Great lesson for life. So is it an after-school program every day of the week?
It's you could say it's a after-school program, but then you could go also in school hours. they're always there. There's always someone there to help you if you have an urgent emergency. Suppose an essay is due and you really don't have anything, or like you need to edit, they go there and then they help you brainstorm some ideas. They help you edit your essays. I'm sure if you go into college, you know what you have to go through, write some like hundreds of essays, and for also applying to scholarships, it's also difficult to have all those essays ready to go on time, with also keeping up with schoolwork, because like the teachers are not gonna slow down because you are doing college process. That also makes it hard.
I think it's important to point out here that 2.5 years ago, you didn't even speak English, and you've been taking AP classes in English. You do this kind of essay writing for just your own learning in your time off, so to speak. And then, wait a second, that wasn't enough essay writing for you. You went and joined the Young Writers and Leaders program. Yeah, Young Writers and Leaders program at the Telling Room. I wondered if you'd want to tell people about how fantastic that program is. It's quite competitive, and it's all about fostering written and spoken expression, and it helps you to become a published author before the end of the program. So you were one of the few chosen ones. What did that do for your writing?
The Young Leaders and Writers of Maine is really, really a competitive program to get in. I was lucky enough to be selected this year. I don't know what I did, but then I found myself in there. So many people applied there, but then few people were selected. But what
I think
the program
you ought to play the lottery, for... You're a pretty lucky kid.
Yeah, definitely. Because so the program basically is after school program. We do that. We go there on Tuesday, and there's like two groups, Tuesday and Thursday. So what we do is writings, and I help you develop your writing skills. Also, it's not only about writing; it's also about communicating ideas or like what you think. Because we do also some presentation. They help you get ready or like kind of like feel at ease when you're speaking in front of a public, because like we did some presentation and there were like over 200 people over there. I didn't know anybody of them, so that was also something they help you do or accomplish, because like fear of speaking in public is real. And
yes, it's and speaking in front of other people is always daunting. Yeah. But doing it in a new language to you is, I imagine, downright scary.
Definitely. But then I like challenges, and I like to challenge myself, and I also like to write stories, because like that's my way to express what I feel. That's my way of telling other people what I think of them, speaking out loud, speaking up. So I went into that program trying to develop my language also, but also trying to express what I'm feeling inside me.
Yeah, that's it makes your experiences so real when you can write about them and have the courage to speak about them in front of 200 people. That's so impressive. I know you're not afraid of hard work. I'm kind of curious what the next challenge you have set for yourself might be. What keeps you moving forward?
What keeps me moving forward is the need of helping others. I don't feel like you can help anybody when you still need help. So you have to go somewhere and then, accomplish things, and you have to make it before thinking of helping others. So I'm driven with the need of helping others, but then I also feel like in order for me to help others, I have to make it and show them the lead, be the model and then inspire other people. So you can be a model, trying to inspire others when you didn't make it. You have to know what you're talking about and be the leader. So I am really driven with the motto of make it first and help others, you know, after, because like you can't really help anybody when you still need help also. That's, yeah,
it makes good sense to me. And I know you have your eyes on possible medical work, maybe a doctor, maybe an oncologist. You have big dreams.
I since I was a kid, I'd say my grandfather had some problems, but then later on my dad told me that he had cancer and then he passed away. So that put something into my heart, and I felt like, what if there was like something I could do about it, you know? What if I could change his life, you know? He's not here, but then the people are still getting cancer and then they have no way, or they're still trying to find ways to treat that. And what if I could contribute or maybe find a cure? I'm dreaming big, but then
it's not out of the realm of possibilities,
right,
for you.
Yes.
Ken, you are a person who's not afraid to test your own limits. You have turned isolation into productive energy, and that's measurable in your successes. I hope you will remain kind to yourself as you keep driving toward your goals. I have no doubt that you will use your wisdom to benefit others wherever you go. And thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure for me to be here and share my story. And it was really great. Thank you for having me here.
And congratulations on your graduation this week.
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Throw that hat in the air.
Yeah, class of 2019, we made it.
Yes,
yeah.
You made it.
Yes.
You make it happen and then you made it.
Yeah.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Ken has selected for us. Can you introduce this song for us?
Song in, itself is talking about my country, Burundi. It's a great country. It's really talking about how good it is, and the singer has died, but then he was explaining what the wonder of the country of Burundi had to offer. And I hope also I could be an example of people from Burundi. So, yeah.
Here we go. Thank you. Kaya gako kumugoroba.
Amazatemba, inyoni zizi.